You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Shea Pataja, and I'm here for the stats and laughs.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
Fantastic. So today we're talking about semi-retirement. How can it look? What does it look like? What might I want to think about with a semi-retirement? And oh my gosh, the sea change that's happening in the retirement stage.
Is this because of COVID?
No.
Because people stopped
working so much? Because people are getting older and they don't know what else to do. I mean, you know, what am I going to do? Well, you look at Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. We were talking about this a bit before the show. Mid to late 90s, and these guys are still running the show. As Warren says, one can hear and one can see, so they make
They're
a great
covered.
Team.
That's
it works fantastic. Yeah.
So it's not, I mean, even if you have all the money in the world like that, then you still need something gainful to do with your time.
Exactly. Warren said a while back he's reading 500 pages a day. I mean, how the heck does he do that? Well, he says 80% of his time reading and researching. And what was he buying? You know, everybody wants to know, what's Warren buying? Monday he was buying Occidental Petroleum. OXY is the symbol. Not recommending it or not. Just what he's doing.
Just reporting.
So he's actively pursuing.
All right. So, you know, what does semi-retirement look like? Can you define it? What is being semi-retired? Does that mean you work 5 hours a week, 20 hours a week, 40 when you used to work 90? What is semi-retirement?
It's interesting.
Like?
When you ask that question, I think of the Braveheart. I think it was from Braveheart when he says freedom. Remember he yells freedom? And not at a good point in the movie. I think that's where it was. But it generally means more flexibility or freedom. It also tends to mean that you've had a lot more experience.
Maybe and fewer responsibilities, too.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And or a specialization of those responsibilities, recognizing your specific skills.
Only doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense?
Makes a ton of sense.
And could it be fun? More fun, perhaps.
I think it could be fun. Maybe something that you've always wanted to do. It's been in the back of your mind. You know, that would be so cool to do. Having that freedom to give it a try, and also to, you know, volunteer work can be like a job in retirement as well, because there are a lot of opportunities out there to volunteer, and those can turn into almost full-time jobs.
Yeah, for sure.
It's amazing what's happening here in good old Traverse City, Michigan. As you were speaking, Heidi, I was thinking of all the volunteers, the Grand Traverse Conservancy.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. How many volunteers are working through there? The barns, if you will, over there, that huge garden area. We've got master gardeners working. It's incredible.
Have you been to any events over there in the barns?
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
I mean, when you think back to not that long ago, it was a cool-looking barn, but it was not usable in any way. It was overgrown all around it, and
they've really done a nice job.
Blows my mind. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Talk about the dynamism in Traverse City, Michigan. It's crazy. That's why. Who was I talking to yesterday morning? Oh, a gentleman who just moved here from Colorado. David is his first name. And I said, we walked out of the restaurant, and I said, all you got to do is look down the street, and I see you'll see the individualism and the independent spirit of those who tend to live in the Traverse City area. But it's looking at the restaurants. I mean, you look at the names. Who would have thought of all this? You see some chains in Traverse City. Nothing the matter with a chain, but talk about originality, thoughtfulness, hard work.
I love
it. It's inspiring, isn't it?
It was my greatest hope for this town that things like that would happen. You know?
It's awesome.
Especially in downtown. Look at downtown was kind of, I'm not going to say dead and gone, but dying.
Yeah.
Not that
long
ago. And people were saying, well, the malls are the way, are the wave of the future, and downtowns will die. And that's exactly the opposite of
that.
Isn't
that amazing how wrong they were, eh?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it talk about energy. We're getting that. So number one, planning for all of us. It's a great question. It has already been alluded to. Can I afford this? How would it work? Possibly doing a financial plan. Now, that can always help in terms of, well, maybe I need to draw some from some funds as I'm doing this. It doesn't necessarily have to be a total change in the career. It may be a tamping down, if you will, of the amount of time you're spending. Do I need to draw some money from these accounts? Well, maybe I do. What if I do? How would that look? And or will these monies only tend to accumulate over some time, because I'm not going to need much of it at all? Everyone is in a different situation. But indeed, if you do need to draw from it, or if you're concerned that it will even last, then I actually brought a sample financial plan here, Colleen, so we could see.
That's
that.
John and Jane Sample.
John and Jane Sample.
I knew them.
So the they were nice people, weren't they? Kind of
they
square.
They made great financial plans.
Not really exciting to talk to at coffee, but you know. Yes, John
but
Sample.
But no, it's great to see. Does that have actual numbers plugged in? The real
it
sort
does.
Of a real way that we would do
right.
it?
Right. Okay. So the numbers, the personal information and summary of financial goals, I've mm-hmm. highlighted that there so you can see it.
Got it.
Thanks for the audience, too. I'm sure they're happy with that. But you just get to see all of those numbers, and can they work? And then the most fun thing about this is, what do we want to happen at retirement? What are our fun goals? How do we want to see that happen? So you can fill that out in the application for this, if you will, the form, to help you determine what is it that we really want to do in retirement. What would be those part-time things that we might accomplish? Would it be going to Florida to travel?
Right, and this is also something that you don't have to wait until you're retired to do a financial plan. Actually, it's a great idea to do it several years before you plan
well,
to retire.
I was just thinking, even while Dennis was saying this, that what would be wrong with starting in your 40s or certainly 50s, mapping out your strategy, knowing that things will change or jog to the left and the right a little bit. But do you think people are dialed in enough, let's say 50 years old, to say, all right, I'm going to make a plan?
That is a great point, because usually people get dialed in, if you will, by in their early 50s. They are able to start thinking about, you know, what's retirement going to look like?
Right.
What if we're not going to make it? What if we are? We'd like to know. What's it going to take to get there? How do we do this? What if I do want to work part-time? I just want the flexibility to do that. Maybe I want to write part-time. Maybe I want to, volunteer, whatever it might be. Those things that we all tend to, if you will, tamp down, we don't want to think about because we have to concentrate on what we have to do today. Part of this is allowing yourself to think about, what is it that I'd really, really like to do? And part of that, maybe simply consulting with a great friend, someone that you trust significantly to help you say, well, you know, okay, what did you want to do when you were in high school, college, maybe a bit later? What have you always wanted to accomplish, perhaps, that you haven't allowed yourself to pursue?
You know, and it doesn't have to be anything grand. It can be, for sure, but mm-hmm. Ron and I have talked about this before, how I tell him I can see myself working in a little bookstore, you know, for a half a day here and there, and just being in that atmosphere of being around all the books and all the cool things and setting up the stock and reviewing books and maybe having a book club and whatnot. And, you know, you're not going to make any big money being right. a bookstore part-time employee, but I just think it would be fun.
Oh, my gosh. And get exposed to a variety of writers and seeing all the different new books that are out.
Right, and just talking to
incredible.
People about what's there. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yep. Tons of fun.
So
the interaction can be hugely beneficial. Yeah. But many, many people are finding that they need to be out and about more. All of a sudden, because we're nearing the end of the pandemic, nearing the end of this, it seems to me, from an observational standpoint, that people are starting to get out again and be more comfortable in mm-hmm. groups. And this can be a great catalyst for you to say, and it was shut down for 2 years. and I kind of set aside a lot of those things. What would I like to do for the next 5, 10, 15 years? Some of us may live longer than we intended.
Dun, dun, dun.
Isn't that,
that'd be lovely? Do you know, yeah, when you were talking about the pandemic and the couple of years of limbo, did you have people who had been debating retiring about that time, and then the pandemic, the lockdown came along, and they said, forget it, I'm going to go ahead and retire right now?
We had some of those. We had some of those, some employees, if you will, we had to drill deeper, had to dig down deeper, because they were busier than they ever thought possible. And they are just now being able to plan the retirement or exiting their current jobs.
Right. I'd say we had people on both sides, Colleen. We had people who maybe, you know, that working at home really solved some of the problems or some of the drudgery, that the commuting and all that, and they loved it. So they're going to keep doing that. And then there were other things where it was the tipping point. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've had it with all this. You know, I want to do something else, or I want to retire. Mm-hmm. So you see both sides of the story, and it all goes to your individual preference and where you are and what you like to do.
Arming yourself. Understanding yourself. Now, there are many of those who are retired, have been retired, and will continue to remain retired. It doesn't mean that you still can't pursue those things or interests that you hadn't thought of before. So maybe it is some more volunteerism. Maybe it is doing some things that, and maybe the travel thing has gotten a little bit dog-eared, if you will. You want to move on to something perhaps more intellectually challenging as well. Mm-hmm. Whatever that might mean. One thing I'm thinking about is the Requiem for the Living that's mm-hmm. going to be happening at First Congregational Church on June 12th. I think it's June 12th it is. It's a huge volunteerism effort, but it's also in support of Ukraine. So they're going to take all the funds from this concert are going to go to support Ukraine.
I love the way our community is
supporting
Ukraine.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
It's another great outlet and avenue for those, the people that you see singing at these events, probably average age of 55 to 60 anyway. So there are amazing, amazing outlets that we can all pursue to not only extend our own lives and fulfillments, if you will, but also to help others because of your experience. Many, many pre-retirees and retirees discount their own value that they bring to the stage. They tend to do that. Because they've just been doing, I've been doing this for 30 years. They don't realize how valuable their own experience and experiences are.
So they might be able to get plugged in a great situation
right.
without even knowing it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You might be surprised what your boss would say, perhaps, or the people around you. Or if you decided to pursue another interest, what they might say. Because they are aware of your age and experience. And they say, my gosh, we'd love to have you even 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. If you would decide to do that, now that doesn't happen obviously all the time. But you might be surprised. The reason that I say this is I'm thinking of actually pre-retirees and retirees that I've talked to over the years. And these are based on my own knowledge of what I've seen.
Yeah, a lot of times we've seen people retire from a company, and then the company ends up hiring them back as a consultant for special projects mm-hmm. because that knowledge base that they've built up over the years is really hard
to
replace.
How else can you get it, right?
Yeah.
I've got a client who is an absolute expert in electronics, electrical. He has consulted in some of the most complex nuclear power plants in the nation. Good morning. I wonder if he's listening. I won't even say his first name. But he said he is almost 80 years old. And he said, well, about 6 months ago, they asked me if I wanted to join in on a project. And I said, no, thanks. But you see, what's interesting, even in my field, I thought this was hilarious. These super seniors show no sign of slowing down. This is from Investment News.
And you know what? They're going to show up for work when they're scheduled.
Exactly. You know? Right.
Right.
This gentleman, I thought this was great. This is what he says. My mental and physical capacity that I may or may not reflect my 81 years, but I am positioning myself to continue performing as if I'm much younger, said Isidoro Korngold, a co-founder of a huge wealth advisory firm in San Antonio. I come from a family where my father was active until age 94 and lived to 101. That's the environment I lived through with the experience of my father working for that long. Hopefully, I'll continue to do so. So they're tending to remove the outer limits of what we might think is appropriate or where we can function or contribute. Think about that, eh?
All right, where do we stand here? We're talking about retirement, semi-retirement, partial retirement. You know, I saw a commercial, I don't know what it was for, maybe a cruise line or something, for people who had taken early retirement, then they went and did all the retirement stuff. They traveled, they did all the stuff, and then they came back and worked.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Boomerang retirees.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Now, some need to get away. We recognize that. You've had your fill of it. I mean, really. 30 years of doing this, I just need a break. That may be part of it, too. That may be part of the morphing, if you will, where you just need to say, all right, I need a year away. I've had clients say that. I don't even want to
think
about
it. Can't take it anymore, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. I just need an exit.
Need a break.
Yes. So, obviously, we deal with all of these situations. Heidi, Shay does not join us today. Hopefully next week, although some of us are doing the Ed Slott Kool-Aid thing next week, too.
So we're going to have...
we're doing a big Ed Slott Kool-Aid? Seminar.
Yeah. Best of.
Nathan, Heidi, and myself are attending a conference put on by Ed Slott. First live one we've had in about 2.5 years.
That's right.
Oh, isn't that
really
great?
Really excited about it. Oh, my gosh. There is nothing like being at a conference where you get that input and somebody raises their hand. What about this? You know, they're standing up there asking their
some
questions.
Interaction.
The interaction that goes on instead of that, I'll just say it, the pathetic video. Ugh. Anyway.
The echo. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, Heidi, Shay Stats.
All right. So, let's start out with global inflation. Global inflation is projected to rise by 7.4% during the calendar year of 2022. And that comes from the International Monetary Fund. U.S. inflation, measured by the Consumer Price Index, was up 7% during 2021.
All of 2021.
Correct. 3 percentage points out of the 7 percentage points is a function of direct fiscal support from the U.S. government and how American households spent the pandemic-related money. So it's a combo of fiscal spending and how we spent that money that has led to some of these numbers that we're hearing. And that comes from the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. The U.S. economy shrunk by an annualized 1.4% during the first quarter of 2022, an 8.3 percentage point swing from the 6.9% annualized growth recorded in the fourth quarter of 2021.
Many would say that's a clear sign of recession. Clear sign of recession. Huge shift in growth rate to a decline in mm-hmm. GDP for the first quarter of this year, yeah.
And that came from the Commerce Department. So the Federal Reserve may raise short-term interest rates, which they did, mm-hmm. by 0.5% following their two-day meeting this week. The action that was taken by the central bank on May 16th, 2000, or 22 years ago, so 22 years ago. Since then, the Fed has raised rates 27 times over 22 years, but every rate bump has been a 0.25 percentage point hike. So this is twice as much as usual, and that comes to us from the Federal Reserve.
Interesting, a huge bump up in the stock market yesterday. A classic sign, I thought, in terms of selling the rumor and buying the news, because the market was almost relieved that, oh, yeah, there goes the 0.5% that the Fed is increasing its rates by, and therefore the stock market went up by 900 points plus. That was interesting, an interesting reaction for sure.
Yeah, it's almost a relief that they actually did what they said they were going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so one more here. The 27 nations that make up the European Union buy an estimated $450 million per day of Russian oil and a $400 million per day of Russian natural gas. And that comes from the Bruegel think tank in Brussels.
All right, great. Thank you, Heidi.
The think tank in Brussels. Yeah. Yes, I can just picture it right now. Some marble cavern somewhere.
A bunch
Everyone
of guys
just
sitting
thinking.
Around thinking, yeah.
Right. So continuing the notes from retiring partially retiring, semi-retirement. How can that look? As we were mentioning before the break, run the numbers. Possibly a simple financial plan to see where you're at. It could be more complex, too. What are all the different components that I need to look at? What if I'm not contributing as much to Social Security? What kind of an impact could that have on my income there? Should I start drawing my pension now or run it later? All those kinds of variables can come into play. You really do need to look at the total forest. All right. How are my savings going to be able to do? Do I need to draw any from those? If I do need to draw, how could I do that? What would be the best way to handle that sort of situation? And what if, for instance, my spouse, he or she wants to continue to work until they're 65, and here I am at age 60 at home? You know, am I making him or her breakfast every morning before they get out of the house?
Yes.
And I'm happy to do that. You bet.
Yes,
so it can look very different for a lot of different folks out there. You know, maybe you just need to sit on the tractor for a year and just, you know, putz around in the yard. Whatever it might be, right?
Yeah, but you know what would happen? You do that for a year. And you go, yeah. I belong here. Or, I hate this. Right. I can't do this anymore. Yes.
Get me back in the office.
Right.
Sometimes
you know, I think it's good to explore like that.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. So, do you have the space to do that? You might be surprised. If you've been a good saver and your expenses are relatively conservative, that's the next part. Prepare financially. If you can, get most or all the debts paid off as a part of this. Those obligations that increase the need for your income at retirement, see how much you can cut those by. Any short-term debts especially, possibly even the mortgage, having that paid off. If you don't have a $1,000 a month obligation at retirement where you otherwise would have a bill due every month, that will save you in terms of a lump sum approximately $300,000 in a lump sum.
Really?
What is he talking about?
I like
Put
that.
Put simply, $300,000 at a 4% withdrawal rate will give you about $1,000 a month. Well, that's the debt we have to pay. Well, that's what you need to draw from that account to help satisfy that debt, possibly. So think about it in terms of what accumulations can I set aside that I don't need to have if I have those debts paid off? That's huge.
So it's great to start looking at this several years out from retirement, because you can start, you know, accelerating payments on things, getting that car paid out, or maybe buying that car right before retirement and getting it paid off before you jump into the retirement.
Well, and you have it all figured out with the numbers and the dollars and cents, but the emotional freedom of not having debt. I mean, I cannot even calculate how much trouble it is to have debt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to communicate how much better it feels to not have debt than it does to have it, especially later in life.
One thing I've never had a client say is, I wish I still had that mortgage.
I wish
I've
I
never
had more
heard
debt,
them say that.
It.
Yep. Never.
If only I had a large credit card.
The thing is, though, you can do something about that in one day. That's the problem. Yeah. That's the thing. So, you know, I'm thinking while I'm listening to you guys talk that you know so much. You guys are just a wealth of information. And we all need to know how to do this. And we might have a few ideas, but you can put this all into a plan. You can help us make a plan.
Honestly, I just, personally, I just love doing this because it's so empowering. It really is. And everybody has to start at a place. But man, we all want to improve. You know, who do you know that says, well, no, in 5 years, I'd like to go backwards? Nobody
says
that.
That's the same person that wants more debt.
Right. So it just doesn't exist. So how do you move forward where you're at right now? How do you begin to think through these things? Well, I just want to continue to grow it because I want to pass it on to my children and or the benefit or the charities that we want to, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. What do you want to see happen with that? And how could you expand that? Because it's amazing what some of these financial assets have done, given real estate locally. It's incredible how much more some of these investment properties that we might own have grown in just the last 2 to 3 years.
My gosh, right?
So you may have created more complexity than you even understand or realize. Given that complexity, how are you going to pass it on? What's the best way to do that? How do we do that efficiently? And how do we begin to bring those children along too? You see how that can expand in thought, in power, and excitement and enthusiasm.
You know, it's interesting that you'll see a bumper sticker here and there or whatever. I'm spending my children's inheritance and my grandchildren's inheritance.
I've seen those.
But when it gets down to planning for things like that, there's just something about wanting to pass things along to your kids and grandkids. I don't know, just some innate, maybe it's just me, but this innate desire to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, even that bumper sticker doesn't energize me at all.
Not
surprise.
At all.
It's not on the back of my vehicle.
Heck
right?
No.
So here's some interesting stats. More Americans, like Abbott, that's a gentleman they're talking about in this Kiplinger article, are working well into their retirement years. Labor force participation rates for men age 65 to 69 reached 39% this year, up from 28% in 1995. So 28 to 39. Pretty good increase, mm-hmm. about 9%,
yep.
11%, excuse me. Rates for older women climbed to 30% from 17%, government figures show. So almost a double for women.
Right.
So
that shows that a lot more people are jumping back in.
They are, and or they're just saying, I want to work longer, mm-hmm. or in some cases have to. We recognize that. It could be that you're not going to be paid anything like you are now, given your experience and or the fact that you still enjoy what you're doing. Colleen was talking about this. COVID, the pandemic really shut that down for you a while, and you found out you loved what you do.
I did find that out, and I didn't have to stay home during lockdown. I was able to come in to work, but I realized how much I really clung to that because there was nothing else to do throughout the rest of the day or week or month.
Yeah.
And you know, granted, everything was closed, but it really made me realize how much I value my job.
Yeah.
Not all of us have a career in the garage working wood or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Not that that's bad, but not
it's a solitary
thing.
Right.
Yeah. So you enjoy the camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
you
I do.
Bet. More older adults, particularly women, are also turning to entrepreneurship. An underreported trend, rather. Some 26% of all new businesses were started by adults age 55 to 64 in 2017,
wow.
up from 15% in 96.
What was the percentage?
26% all new businesses were started by adults age 55 to 64.
You know, that really makes sense to me because I'm an empty nester. This year, because my youngest is in, it's going to college. So
how did they ever get to be that old? I
don't know. I stay the same. I don't know what happened.
It is weird how that happens.
Yeah.
It's strange.
So, but, you know, I just found myself with a lot more time, like stuff that I can do. And like, I found different volunteer opportunities that before, you know, I'm taking people to practice and I'm doing all this other stuff. And it opens up possibilities. So I can see that, like, you know, something you really like to do, like becoming more of a business for yourself.
You know, I've been listening to a podcast. And I mentioned to Heidi at the break, it's been incredibly valuable. And just personally, by Earl Nightingale. Now, he's one of the founders of radio, active radio. He did this recording, the first one ever of its kind in 1956. Vinyl, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Spoken vinyl recording, it sold 1 million copies in 1956. No one had ever dreamed of doing this.
No.
It's about 30 minutes long. It is so good. It's called The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale.
So this is a podcast.
It's in podcast format now. I've got it on Spotify. And I didn't even know why I thought, you know, I'm needing some good input, some other input. And I thought I'd try to find it because I'd heard about it here and there, but never pursued listening to it. And I can't believe how good it is. The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. And this may help some of you who are in this transition stage, even if you're not, and you'd like to be in a transition stage. Well, I'm 75, Dennis, and I never did an alternate career. What if I want to create or cultivate some other interests and or activities? This may be a good way to springboard you to that. The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. It's funny, you know, that thing, 1956, and you know, it's aged somewhat. It's a bit out of time, if you will.
Yeah, that's probably still fun to listen to.
It is. It's phenomenal. Well researched, well done, and that may be helpful to you. So, but finding a second act career isn't easy, even for those with a track record of professional success. So, as you're thinking about this, begin early is the next point. We've kind of alluded to that. Think about, as you're going through your career and as you're saving, there are probably five simple things to do, relatively simple.
Early, you mean?
Early.
Mm-hmm.
Saving, using these retirement accounts to the best of your ability. Continuing possibly to increase those, keeping debt in check, making certain that you have a will, powers of attorney. If something were to happen to you and or your spouse and you have minor children, you definitely want a will so that you've named
For sure.
who the guardians are going to be for those children while they're minors, especially.
So let's say you're 30 years old or early 30s, and you have you're in a career that
yes.
you think is going to be your career for a while. Is this when you should get with the program with the savings and
absolutely, if
and
at
stuff?
All possible. Depending, as long as your debt is under control, the best way to save is on a monthly basis, but using great people within those mutual fund accounts that tend to be available within your 401k. Choosing good people. They tend to produce those results over time. Those names are, yesterday we sat with a couple, helped him. He just started a new job, helped him determine where he should have his funds allocated as he contributed.
So
makes
young,
a huge difference over
person.
Time. He's not that young. So he's middle age. So everyone tends to be morphing back and forth between careers and or places at work. You want to make those good choices, and there are some good names in the industry that have a long-term track record, that know how to manage money, that have hundreds of billions of dollars under management, where their results are printed for everyone to see. So the same thing is true for them as it is for you. Now, Warren Buffett, and speaking of Buffett and Munger, they were kind of referencing this, how simple it is to manage money, but most don't follow it. Well, the greatest mutual fund managers do follow that. They understand the playing field, the rules of the game, how to participate in companies as owners do. That's what they consider themselves as, owners in the company, because they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's what buying stock does. It allows you to take an ownership position in a company and hopefully achieve good results over time. That's what mutual funds do.
And I would just say, going back to what Colleen was saying, that the earlier you start, the better. You have all those decades of compounding
and
in
even
front
if you start with
you,
a little bit,
and that discipline of doing it when you're younger, that continues on through life. So it's getting started is one of the biggest, hardest boulders in the path.
It is.
I totally agree. That was hard for me. You know, it make
is.
Other priorities, especially when you're really young. Like, oh, I want to buy this better car now instead. Mm-hmm. You know, one little choice that could really make a difference.
It can. It could. So learn by doing. The best way to learn is to dive in. Even with small amounts, you will get and gain. That will get and gain more attention from you than all the literary works out there. Doing it yourself, okay?
Okay.
Being involved. And then build the bridge between careers. What would that look like? The people, the contacts, the things that you want to think about. What could I be doing? The individuals that you perhaps might want to consult with. What do you think about what I should do? How do you does this make sense to you? Get somebody who'll be honest with you about where your skill set is. Well, I'd never thought about that. You mean that you think I ought to do that? You know, those are the kinds of conversations that can be incredibly valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if it's scary?
You need the real information.
You know, sometimes you have to allow the fear to be a part of this too. Because when you're pursuing a new avenue or a new skill, it's not always easy to do.
And I would say take a look at getting the training too. If you think you're interested in it, take a class or learn that skill while you're still working at your current job to sort of get a taste, or also to prepare you for that changeover. So
how much time do we have here?
Not much. We need to wrap it up. It's already 10:57.
I guess that's fine.
So let's, with all this great information that you've put out there, somebody would like to come in and get a consultation.
Sure.
What should they do?
Our phone number, 231-947-3992. Speak with Beth or Deanne. And or our email is Prout, our website, proutfinancialdesign.com. Proutfinancialdesign.com. You'll find podcasts from previous radio shows, more information about us. And also, you'll be able to schedule if you simply want to email us as well. Proutfinancialdesign.com.
Lots of good information out
there.
That's
an awesome website.
Yes.
And it's a great
place
to get started. You know, if you have not used a financial planning / design service, I think that's a great way to get familiar. Get on the website and then get together and see where you stand.
Great. Come in and meet us.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.